Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.
In 2000, this segment had a turnover of only $100 million in the auction market. In less than 20 years, it became a $1.5 billion market.
This podcast is courtesy of the Zurich branch of Commerzbank AG, which offers over 20,000 publicly offered leveraged structured products in Switzerland. These structured products are accessible through a multitude of channels, including the BX, SIX exchanges, and Swiss Quote Bank. More information can be found at certificate.commerzbank.ch.
I'm here with Oliver Röhl, who is the COO for Fine Art Invest Group, and Dr. Remco van Eckelen, who is the CEO of Emma Gehry's Wealth Management Group. The Fine Art Invest Group is an art dealer and art consultant. It offers an all-around service from consulting and purchase to insurance and storage of the artworks in a state-secured bonded warehouse. Emma Gehry's works alongside high-net-worth individuals, asset managers, corporates, private equity funds, and hedge funds on high-end flexible securitization solutions. Let's start with the first question. Why should anybody invest in art?
Yeah, because we define it and we see it as an asset class in itself. Actually is the most probably the oldest man-made asset. And or as Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock and himself the art collector, has put it, one of the greatest stores of wealth internationally. And right from the start, we have all cliches already in place, because if we listen to Larry Fink, it matches all the mainstream perspectives about art. Art is seen as only could be spent with $450 million for Leonardo da Vinci, for example, or for Picasso and millions of for his painting or a Warhol screen print. But in this $60 billion market worldwide, we discovered so much more opportunities for investments. And the analysis is the most important thing about this. Most of the artworks are still painting, which are generally unique artworks. And exactly this is the main problem of investing in unique artworks. How can you value a unique artwork? To value something, you need to have something of the same kind, the same size, quality, and so on. And of course, from the same artist. Then you can justify the price. So we need artworks done in the so-called editions. If you have something in addition, that means that you have that it matches all the criteria I just said, like same size, same quality from the same artist, and so on. And this is usually done in lithographs and photography. So we decided to pursue this genre of photography as part of a segment of post-war and contemporary art of the art market. And this segment is the fastest growing segment overall. In 2000, this segment had a turnover of only $100 million in the auction market. In less than 20 years, it became a $1.5 billion market.
Wow.
Which is an increase of 1,400%.
Massively. And how did prices develop over that time?
Oh, that's a good question. According to Deloitte Art and Finance Report, this segment has a performance of 10.71% year on a year-to-year performance.
And probably with a very low volatility.
Yes and no. But overall, if you have a year-to-year, 10.7%, that's pretty good. If you compare that to the usual suspect indices of DAX and Dow Jones, they just have a they have a performance of 7 to 8%
on average. Yes, correct. And when you, I mean, you help people investing into these arts, what is the way that you advise them to do it? What is the best way to do that? Is it outright the thing as a portfolio? Do you invest only in the bits that you actually like? Do you invest only in dead artists because there's no more supply coming? Or you invest also in living artists? What sort of is the...
A good question. Let's define what we actually propose and offer our clients. We do have two products and services. First of all, we offer a direct investment, so or so-called direct investment. which is actually very old-fashioned. It's just we follow the general strategy of wealthy families and what they have done throughout all centuries. That's a good thing. And we just added a twist to that. We have democratized this investment. Our investment proposition starts not in millions, but only in 15,000 euros. When buying such an individual, selected, and well-curated portfolio, we call this group of artworks we offer to the client as a portfolio, he becomes the owner of the artworks. In addition to the sale, we usually manage this portfolio in terms of storage and insurance. And secondly, we do offer art advisory to family offices and to private banks. We do not have any license to launch any financial vehicle, but we help our partners to wrap up art into such financial structure. So we teamed up with Remco van Eckelen from Emergeries to help in making art as an underlying asset for a financial vehicle, which he calls certificate or note.
Okay, so for us at Amageris, you know, we've looked a lot at investing in art for our clients. Next to that, we work a lot with other investment managers, banks, and asset managers on structuring deals. And at some point, you know, when we said, you know, we're buying art for our clients, we're storing it, it's physical art. We said, well, you know, maybe it's good to have it in one of our notes. We run securitization platforms in Luxembourg. And having it as a bankable asset makes it a lot easier to manage for us as investment managers. So we've seen quite a lot of interest in it from other banks and family offices investing in the note. It's a private placement note and traded at NAV, you know, like a fund. You know, it works exactly the same, basically. And we securitize a portfolio of art. And Fine Art Investment Group, they do the advisory to the product. They tell us, you know, okay, or they tell the structure part, we're going to buy this, we're going to buy that. And they take care of the storage, they take care of the insurance, they take care of the whole management of the art portfolio in that way, which is very beneficial because that is something that we cannot do again. So if you look at the liquidity side, when people would like to buy art through the note, it trades OTC, trades like a certificate or a fund. We get subscriptions and we get redemptions. The note always has about 10% of cash in there to make sure that redemptions can take place. And that for us is, it's a very useful product in a portfolio where we're looking for yield and we're really trying to figure out, you know, what can we do? And real assets nowadays, you know, next to real estate, art, and other things like forestry are very, very interesting. And, you know, a lot of our clients, they love the fact that they have something that has a cultural value as well.
So if I would be one of your clients and buy such a portfolio from you, is there any way for me actually to also enjoy it? In the sense, could I take one of the pictures out and hang it on the wall at home? Or does it have to be in a secure storage to be insured and safe?
Oh, we differentiate very clearly between decorative art and art which we are going to invest in. Of course, if you want to have one of your artworks at home, you are free because you are the owner to import this artwork and hang it onto your wall and enjoy it yourself, of course. Mm-hmm. But then you have to insure it yourself because it's not covered by our insurance.
And it's like it touches, it has some emotions with it. Is when you do the securitization, who can actually invest? You mentioned it's a private placement, so is there limitations? Who can come to you on this one? Yeah. And what's sort of the minimum at which you start looking at it?
Yeah. So basically, it's under the PPR rules in the EU. Tickets are 125,000 plus. So normally it comes through discretionary management portfolios, or it comes through banks, high net worth individuals that are eligible to invest in these type of products.
And what you see is sort of a trend in there. How long do people normally hold these holdings? Is it 1-2 years or more? 5-7 years is.
No, I think in general, our clients, they've been in there for the long run. You know, we manage a lot of, let's say, nest eggs. Yeah. People like something that has a stable return, like art, you know, like Oliver said, 10.7% on an annual basis on post-modern contemporary art. Helps a lot in a portfolio, you know, where bond yields are very, very low. You need to add something different. I think it makes a difference with, you know, with what we do and how we invest for clients, and clients really appreciate, you know, a different look at investing.
And is there a reviewing process in the place, like, or is this portfolio stationary?
Okay, in terms of review, the overall structure, as Remco just pointed out, is on a 10-year basis. We do buy, or we do propose to the note, when money and investments come in, what to buy. And of course, along this period of time, if we have an opportunity to sell art for a very good price, then we are nobody would be reluctant to do so. So we take these opportunities to make money and to buy again at a lower price some more art.
As you regularly evaluate the art, how do you actually determine the price of the art when you're not intending to trade the art, you're not trying to sell it? So there's no market price in a sense. Do you go to auction results? Do you use an art dealer bid? Is it expert valuation? Is it insurance value you use for it? What's your source?
Yeah, the good question, and a relevant and basic question, because this is always what we've been asked about the valuation. Actually, coming back to what I've said in the first place about photography and the beauty why we chose photography, that it's managed in editions, that makes it transparent in prices, because we do have a comparison in the market. If you sell pieces in an edition, you have a comparison price in the market. So in our network, we do get the prices from the galleries. And of course, we also screen auction prices, but not as relevant as the actual market prices from our dealer partners and galleries.
And now, over the last few years and going forward, sort of what themes and trades do you see will affect your business?
You most probably agree that the latest trend is the search for real investment opportunities, and the trend to tangible and real assets, and because there is a lack of other opportunities. So that is our chance, and we do benefit from this trend very, very much.
And is the internet making this market more transparent now?
Of course, also in the art market, online sales increase very much. It's already in 6 billion in size, an increase of 11% per year throughout the last years. And it's expected that it will increase even higher in the next years. Accompanied by, on the other hand, the dying of the small galleries. So the trend is growing as a gallery, making your own network of galleries like Agogian and Hauser & Wild and so on. So they get bigger and bigger, whereas on the other end of the spectrum, the smaller galleries will die in the future, because it's hard to get new collectors and make them or appreciate art.
Can you walk us through your investment process and how you construct a portfolio when you put a note together?
Yeah, it was really important, you know, when we started doing this project with Fine Art Invest Group, is that, you know, they look at a lot of the factors out there. They really invest in artists that have been there for a long time, that have a track record. They're very traceable in the internet, you know, very present. And those were things where we said, okay, that is really important for us, next to storage and insurance and things like that. So our investors that invest in the note, they benefit from the same processes that Fine Art Invest Group puts into, you know, the whole process when buying physical art for their clients. And we basically put that together and said, okay, well, this is a bankable product with a Swiss eyes in, you know, easy to trade. And from there, you know, it was for us something that was investable for our clients. But I think, you know, Oliver, you can say a little bit more about the process, you know, the steps that you guys take to select the artists and to really see, you know, what is something that we add into the note or in bankable portfolios like this.
Yeah, following our key philosophy to preserve wealth and value, we do only invest in so-called blue chip artists. And those blue chip artists have to match very strict and defined criteria. It's not a matter of young and old, but of other criteria. Is their body of work recognized by art historians, by curators? Is their body of work in significant collections of museums and institutions? Do they have a quite significant amount of shows and exhibitions throughout the last years? And is there any trackable and comprehensible pricing throughout the last at least 10, but more or less 20, 25 to 30 years? That is the key to make an investment, to persuade our clients to invest in this particular artist.
I mean, this sounds like, you know, you look more at it, actually, what the opportunity in the market is, or does also your taste play into what you select?
The thing is that when we started working with Fine Art Invest Group, is that what we really liked is the fact that they look at, you know, what does the market want? And it's not about personal taste. It's not about, you know, is this a beautiful picture or not? It is, what does the market want? What does the market want to pay for it? Is there a track record or not? And it's very... how do you say, almost,
you take the emotion out of
the investment. Yeah, you take the emotion away, exactly. And it's really about, you know, that is the picture, that is the track record, and that is how it works. And those are things that we really value a lot. I mean, I have no knowledge about art, to be really honest. Yeah, you either like it or you don't. But with these type of investments, how we make them together, you know, it's not about do you like them or you don't. It's about what does the market want.
I can add to this that our target group is not the collector. That the collector follows his own philosophy and his taste and his philosophy of collecting. But we attract investors, and investors only are interested, as you just mentioned, track records. This is why we only choose blue chip artists and not any rookies coming from art school. That would be particularly totally speculation. What we have in mind is preservation of value, and the opportunity, of course, over time and in long-term perspective, to increase in value and to generate performance.
Last question to you. What are your three favorite art or art heist movies?
Of course, as a man of photography, I have to mention the film from John Malouf, Finding Vivian Maier, this really amazing discovery, which was by accident of John Malouf. Vivian Maier died very poor in 2009, and he bought her work by accident through an auction house, undeveloped film, in 2007. And what the outcome of this body of work is amazing. We are still discovering. We are on the edge of just discovering this body of work. She photographed in the 50s and 60s, very unique as a street photographer in Chicago, New York. And left us a body of work which is amazing, of interesting people, and of course, and this is what most curators adore of her work, is her ability of a very unique set of self-portraits she has done in the 50s and 60s already, although there are other big names who did in the 70s. Self-portraits, which look pretty, I wouldn't say silly, but...
Excellent. I'm going to have to find this movie and watch it. Over to you, Renko. What are your up to three favorite either finance movies or art heist movies related to our discussion today, movies?
Let's take the finance movies.
Excellent.
Same as with the finance books, you know, they're always interesting to look at. Well, we've mentioned Boiler Room, The Big Short, Margin Call, but you know, one of the really nice ones is still The Wolf of Wall Street. You know, it is just so entertaining, and all the other ones that we looked at, you know, where we see all these big corporate raiders in Wall Street. You know, they're very nice to watch, and it gives you a lot of impression how it was in the old days. But I think, you know, if I'm in a plane, I'll take The Wolf of Wall Street.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
This podcast is courtesy of the Zurich branch of Commerzbank AG, which offers over 20,000 publicly offered leveraged structured products in Switzerland. These structured products are accessible through a multitude of channels, including the BX, SIX exchanges, and Swissquote Bank. More information can be found at certificate.commerzbank.ch.
Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.